Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Associate Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost filled woman on fire for the Lord. Tune in at 7 p.m. when Pastor Kathy will bless us. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
everlasting God. What can I ask the everlasting God? You know best what I need and when I need it. You see the end before the beginning, and you know the path I am to take. I ask for wisdom, for you are the great and wise everlasting God. I ask for the ability to slow down and focus my thoughts on you in my daily life. Place yourself. Place yourself on my mind when I wake up each morning, that I might start my day right. Remind me of who you are, so I don't waste the time you have given me. Help me to use my time to advance your kingdom for your glory, for the good of others, and for the fulfillment of my destiny. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word. So in the meantime, I will play another selection. Praise God. And I hope and pray that you are enjoying our Sweet Hour of Prayer and Thankful Thursday. We all have something to thank God for. Amen. Praise God.
You don't know.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the opportunity to begin again. I choose to press forward and keep believing for the dreams and desires you have placed in my heart. I trust you today with everything that I am. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship. Lift your hands and bless them in this place. Your simple song. Go like this.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord. My hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve.
Come on, y'all gotta come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Lord, my hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Then we simply say, you deserve. Real simple, say it, church. From the bottom of your heart, tell the Lord. You deserve it, Lord, yeah.
You deserve
all of the glory, yeah.
All of the glory, Lord.
Everything I give you, Lord. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory, Lord.
Y'all got it now, come on, say it. All of the glory, Lord.
Oh,
our hands together one time. My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
Elohim, you are the strong creator God. In you I find all of the components of everything you have ever created. Your great imitation gave the elephant its long trunk and the leopard its spots. By your strong arm, the ocean depths were first measured and the mountains rose. You choose what color the sky would be and how the earth would feed itself, even bringing life through death as a seed dies before towering into a tree. I praise you for the greatness of your creative prowess and ingenuity. I adore you for the fullness of your power, and I honor you for how you have made all things, even the miniature, work together to populate your great creation that we call Earth. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer and Thankful Thursday, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bless our hearts with a mighty word from God. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection. After the selection, I will come back with our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray, to simply tell the Father thank you? And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some would ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. Like you.
Devotional message, amen, which is entitled God's Good Will. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 145 verses 8-9, and it says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. In Romans 12:2 tells us that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. It doesn't say that the Lord's will for you will be unbearable, that you will hate it, and that it will ruin your life. On the contrary, what the Father envisions for you is absolutely wonderful and praiseworthy. Therefore, today, think about the fact that God's will is good. The Lord's plan is morally honorable, excellent, and beneficial to you. It may not always appear to be so at first. There have been times in my own life when I told the Father that the trials and pressures he was allowing seemed far from good. However, we always have to remember the promise of Romans 8 and 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The Father is very careful about what he permits to touch your life. Why? Because he himself is good. Why would we ever expect the will of God to be anything other than beneficial and honorable when both the nature and character of our Heavenly Father are good? Therefore, today, rejoice in the fact that his will for you is wonderful. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me on this thankful Thursday. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for your good plans for my life. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. So again, I will play another selection.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy to be praised.
Let's worship,
yes.
Let's pray.
Come on,
Lord,
sing along. Oh,
honor and glorify his name.
Oh,
yeah. Let's worship,
yes.
Oh, and pray.
Everybody,
praise the Lord.
Oh,
praise God. Choosing to be kind. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, in the New King James Version says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all." Christ shows his love for us by willingly sacrificing his own life so that we might have eternal life. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans 5 and 8, in the NIV says, we, as Christians' followers, are challenged to share his love with kind words on our lips and praise in our hearts. Just as Christ has been and will always be the ultimate friend to his flock, so should we be Christ-like in the kindness and generosity that we show toward others, especially those who are most in need. Amen? So when we walk each day with Jesus and obey the commandments found in God's holy word, we become worthy ambassadors for Christ. When we share the love of Christ, we share a priceless gift with the world. As his servants, we must do no less. Kindness in this world will do much to help others, not only to come into the light, but also to grow in the grace day by day. All kindness and good deeds, we must keep silent. The result will be an inner reservoir of personality power. The attitude of kindness is everyday stuff like a great pair of sneakers, not frizzle, not fancy, just plain and comfortable. When we Christians are too busy to care for each other, we are simply too busy for our own good and for God. No matter how crazy or nutty your life has been, God can make something strong and good out of it. He can help you grow wide branches for others to use as shelter. Kind words have echoes that last a lifetime and beyond. Proverbs 11 and 17 in the CSB says, a kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings disaster on himself. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 in the CSB says, love is patient. Love is kind. Colossians 3 and 12. In the CSB says, therefore, God's chosen one, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Ephesians 4 and 32 tells us, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God has that just as God also forgave you in Christ. Amen. Praise be to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes this world can become a place of busyness, frustration, and confusion. Slow us down, Lord, that we might see the needs of those around us. Today, help us show mercy to those in need. Today, let us spread kind words of thanksgiving and celebration in honor of your Son. Today, let forgiveness rule our heart, and every day, Lord, let my love for Christ be reflected through deeds of kindness for those who need the healing touch of the Master's hand. In his name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. So at this time, I will play another selection.
Together, come on. You said you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't, you can't. Gotta say, you can't be breaking down and falling out. You gonna break out your prayer, break out your word. You gonna break out the praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, this a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got, that's all you got.
Elohim, forgive us when we fail to recognize your creative power. Forgive us for not stopping and being awed by your hand and the masterpiece of your creation. Forgive us for doubting where we should trust you, even when it comes to our own life, our health, and our purpose for living. We have not always seen you in the light of your greatness, and sometimes we make you seem much smaller than you truly are. And for that, we are sorry. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy to be praised.
Let's
thank you.
Adonai, O Lord God, my Adonai. You are a great and mighty God. You have opened my eyes to see your greatness and your strong hand. What God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the amazing and powerful things you can do? Who can create a mountain? Who can make the deep where the waters rest, far beyond anything we can see? Who can calm a storm with just one word? None other than you, Adonai. You are the master over all. You are the Lord above all, and you are deserving of the highest honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now it is time for the word. At this time, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come and bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise.
Amen.
God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this evening?
Oh, doing awesome. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you, it's been raining. I don't know what's going on.
Well, we've been raining all day, too.
Okay, good.
Oh, it's all over.
I guess they're
it's
in their raining season.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, but it's like every day down here for the past 3 days, four days.
Same here.
Okay, I thought y'all was still getting sunshine.
Oh, ooh, my goodness. Sunshine, but it still rains.
We have a treat tonight. We really do.
Ooh, I love treats.
God threw me a curveball. I was thinking that he was giving me a message to tell you guys one thing, and then, you know, when you read over your notes and you're going over everything, I went, wait, that ain't the way I thought we was going. I thought we was going someplace else. So you know what that is? You get in the car, and the driver done told you, we going over here to B Street. And you know what B Street is. So you're in the car, and you're riding along, and then you go, what you doing? This ain't the way to B Street. And they look at you and go, are you driving or am I?
Mm-hmm.
Let me drive. And you go, okay, why don't you just say, I know which way to go to B Street, you know? And so when I look at God, he go, okay, that's not the direction I thought we were going. And then if you can hear him in the spirit, you got to be tuned in, then you'll hear him say, let me do the driving.
Amen.
Do you want to get in this seat or you want me to drive? And I go, I'm just a passenger. I'm going to ride along.
Okay.
I know where I'm taking you. So then I looked at the message and went, wow, now I got the research. I don't know what this is. And then while I was researching, I realized why he gave me this word. I said, wow. Here's the thing. God said, you're one of the ones that really need to hear this, Kathy. I said,
yeah.
Oh, okay, I mean, don't get me wrong. I need to hear everything you guys need to hear. I am human like you, so I need to know what it takes to get in as well. But when God says to me, you're one of the ones that needs to hear it, then I know that I have been making mistakes in that area. That's okay. What he's telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, okay, help me, Lord. He said, I'm about to. And then he proceeded to let that word drop in my spirit.
Okay.
My goodness, glory to God.
Praise
and you know
Lord.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten so many beatings. I have gotten chastised so much that I'm going to be like King David. It's okay, Lord. I know I did something wrong when you said you one of the ones that need to hear this. So I'm okay with correction.
Mm-hmm.
I can't grow if I never get corrected.
Amen.
My goodness, glory to God.
Amen.
That is the reason he corrects us, and for no other reason. He wants us to grow, but not to grow ignorant, to grow in knowledge.
Amen.
My goodness. Thank you, God. Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you tonight. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do, oh God. We love you. We honor you. We adore you, oh God. And you know what? I got to say, please forgive us, oh God, for all of the mistakes we've made. For when we thought we knew and we didn't know, please have mercy on us. Please forgive us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. When we did things thinking we were doing them in your name and we were doing them incorrectly, please forgive us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy on us. Have mercy, oh God. Thank you that you love us enough to come and correct us and make that crooked path straight, get us back on the right path. Thank you, God.
Yes, Lord.
We love you. We honor you, Father God. I'm going to get out of your way. I'm getting back in the passenger side and allow you to drive this word right into the hearts of your people. We thank you. We love you, honor and adore you. Have your way right now, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank praise God. The Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Here we go.
Thank you, Jesus.
I trust everybody's been having a good week thus far, even with the rain. You know, sometimes those rainy nights feel good, too. I know the grass love them. You know, all the farmers, they love getting rain. So thank God for the rain.
Thank God for the rain. At least we're not like in over there in Hawaii. They got fires.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's too dry, then you get something else. Thank you, God. We got rain.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. We are coming from, and it's going to be short and sweet. We are coming from 1 Thessalonians. All the way in the back of your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15.
Amen.
Go to the back of your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. Thank you, God. Help me, Holy Ghost. Whew. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. It says, I didn't like that version. Thank you, God. Let me see if that's what he says. Oh, where's the King James Version? Oh, I guess so. I thought I had it wrong. Okay, here we go. Therefore, verse 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. Verse 11 says, therefore, encourage and build up one another, just as you are already doing. Verse 12, but we ask you, brothers, to acknowledge those who work diligently among you. Yeah. Okay, verse 12. I'm going to read that again. It says in another version, this is the version I'm looking for, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the name of the Lord, in the Lord, and admonish you. Okay? So now, verse 13, in love, hold it in highest regard because of their work. Live in peace with one another. 14, and we urge you, brothers, to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one repays evil for evil. Always pursue what is good for one another and for all people.
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord continue to add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his word. Amen.
Amen.
The title of this message is In All Thy Getting. I think y'all know the rest, but it says In All Thy Getting. Here we go. In the first line, verse 11, we see that he's saying, and this is Paul and them talking, you know, they're encouraging the churches, the people in the churches. He says, encourage one another, encourage and build up one another. That's what he's saying, right? He's talking about Christian living. Encourage and build up one another just as you are already doing. So when he says build up one another, I was reading in the commentaries, he's really saying to them, I'm asking you to continue edifying one another. Edifying is building one up, but it also means to instruct, improve, huh? Yeah. So what's happening is we have been called to edify the body of Christ. That means to give instruction, to improve their learning. They don't know everything about the Bible. So we're continuously teaching them, right? Mm-hmm. And so, Paul says, continue to do what you've already started doing, right? Edify them. But here's the thing. What the commentary also says is, oh, my goodness, help us, Jesus. Says, yeah, edify the brethren, but the command also involves if they're edifying, if they're trying to build up, trying to teach, trying to improve your learning, then you ought to be able or in a position where you desire the edification. I read that and I went, wow, thank you, God. Because guess what? Everybody thinks that we're here to edify. Well, we can't edify if you're not in a position to receive it so that you can get the edification that we're putting out there. You know what? When a teacher's... Hello? Oh, wow. Hello.
No. I hear you. We hear you.
My goodness. Okay, thank you. I thought I was... Everybody's gone. It got real quiet.
No, I
Here's
was
the thing.
On
when a teacher's standing... Thank you. When a teacher is teaching a class, right?
Right.
She is instructing, right? She's pouring out. She's trying to get you to a better place, a place of knowledge and whatever the subject is that she's teaching on. For us, we're teaching on the Bible, right? We're trying to get folks to understand Christ and Christ and the ways of Christ, right? And so we're edifying you. We're building you up in a place of knowledge. That's how we're building you up, giving you knowledge. But here's the thing. If you don't receive it, if you don't receive the edification, it's just going out there in the air.
Right.
As we give it, you, oh, my goodness. As we give it, you got to be ready to receive it. Yeah. It's a two-part thing. Okay? Folks think preachers, all they got to do is get up there and preach. It was a good word, and they're gone, and they get out in the parking lot. What was the word about? It was good. What was it about? It was good. You should have been there. What was it about? My thing is, if by the time you get to the parking lot, you cannot remember that word, then we did not edify you with what we just taught. Come on now. Because if you were edified, I don't know about anybody else, but when I was in school and my teacher taught me something and I grabbed hold to it, by the time I get in the lunchroom, one of the kids would go, "Roulette, did you get that?" I said, "Oh, my goodness, it was so good. Did you get it?" I didn't understand. And now they're looking at me and I'm going, "I'm not the teacher. I'm in the fifth grade like you." But they're mm-hmm. looking at me going, "What did you get? What did you, how did you understand it? What was she saying?" Now, I got to become the teacher in the fifth grade. So I'm saying, "Well, this is what I got." Right? And then I break it down to them and they go, "Oh, okay. Oh, my goodness, glory to God, I just got a revelation." I said, "They want me to play teacher in the fifth grade. God said you were supposed to be playing teacher from when you was in your mother's womb. Come on now. Every pastor should be able to teach." Ah, my goodness, glory to God. So guess what? In the fifth grade, when they was getting you to explain to them what you understood it to say, they was mm-hmm. really getting you ready for where I was taking you, even in the fifth grade.
Exactly.
If I can't explain it then, how am I going to explain it now? If I would have looked at them and said, "I'm not the teacher, go to the teacher." Huh? Mm. You got to understand, from when you're a young person, God is already preparing you for what he's called you to do.
Amen.
Huh? You're already walking out that thing. You're walking out. You're getting better and better and better. What do you think King David was doing as a young boy, shepherding his daddy's, his natural daddy's sheep? Guess what he was doing? Learning how to do it, to do what God had called him to do, because he ended up being a shepherd. But he had mm-hmm. knowledge. And he had courage, because guess what? When he was a kid and he was doing it, he knew there was nowhere in the world he could have chased off a lion, a bear, or anything like that. So you know what he did? He acknowledged the fact that he knew God was with him.
Exactly.
He said, "God delivered me."
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So when he came up against Goliath, he said, "It was God's doing, and the same God that helped me then is the one that's getting ready to help me right now to take you down."
Amen.
King David said, "I don't see you." Now, King David probably was 5 feet. I'm just imagining. I don't know. He was a shorty. He's 5 feet, and the giant was probably 9 feet. And King David was looking at him with his chest stuck out, said, "I don't see you. I see the God that's going to take care of you, because I can't do it. So all I got to do is act in faith, make the motion, and let my God do the rest." There it is. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what we're looking at is whatever we're facing that looks huge to us, when we really ought to be looking at God and let God look at that situation or whatever it is that seems so big on you. Yeah, come on now.
That's right. Go ahead.
So now he's saying, edify one another. Continue to build each other up. Continue to go over the word with one another. Right? Why? Because in doing so, you're going to encourage some. Mm-hmm. You're going to heal some, because they're going to get understanding of what that word is saying, and they're going to start applying that word to their lives. My goodness, glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Now watch this, verse 12. Verse 12, he says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." You know what? I have to be the first to say, I walk around all the time when people say, "Oh, you know, they were doing this in the church, they were doing that. I seen this, I seen that." And then whatever way they say it, I come back and say, know them that are labor amongst you. And the way that I say it, I'm saying, know everybody that's in the church that's laboring all around you. But guess what? God let me see that originally when Paul wrote that, he was talking to clergy. Yeah, he was talking about the ministers, the elders that were up there teaching. Yeah. He was telling the church, know them that labor amongst you, and not just know them, get to know them, how they are. If they stand in need of something, help them, because you don't understand the weight that's on their shoulders.
That's right.
He's not saying it like, you know, make sure they know the word, make sure they live right. No. He's not saying a respective position there. He's saying so much more. Get to know them that labor amongst you so that you'll understand everything that you stand in need of. If you cannot find it, you're supposed to be able to go to them for help, spiritual guidance. And I said, wait a minute. We've been saying know them that labor amongst you like it's the people in the church walking around. No. It's the leaders that are over you. You got to get to know them, right? You've got to get to know their teaching, get to know their style. And not only that, I was reading the commentary. Thank you, God. I was reading the commentary, and the commentary says qualifications are important, but practical experience is always a plus. You know what that means? Someone that is teaching you from book knowledge, huh? I don't think it's anybody like that now that I think about it. Just, you know, teaching you the word of God from book knowledge. I don't think it's anyone like that. You know why? Because everybody that God, my goodness, thank you, Father. Everyone that God has chosen to do what he's called them to do, to teach, preach, exhort, come on now, all of the leaders that God is using to watch over you, right, to minister over you, to bring in you into the knowledge of who he is, they all have been through something.
Oh, yes.
So it's not just practical for them, right? It's life experience that they've also had to go through.
Amen.
So when they're teaching of things that, I know I do it all the time. I look at that and I go, wow, Lord, you know when I went through that? Yeah, that's why I'm using you. So now you can tell them how you made it, how I brought you through, what I did in that situation so they can look to me for their situation.
Amen.
That is how you build one another up.
Yep.
You continuously testify for what the Father has done for you. Mm-hmm. You don't need to get in there testifying about the enemy, the devil was trying to get me, and he did. Nobody needs to hear that. That's not going to edify them. If you want to start out with something that went wrong in your life and edify the person, you've got to glorify God in that sentence.
That's right.
So God, instead of saying, you know, the devil was trying to get me, and he did this, this is how you started. You said, you know, I remember when I was going through and I didn't have no job. You don't even have to mention the devil's name. He gets no glory.
Exactly.
This is just light, right? And,
yes.
And so you said, I remember when I didn't have no job, and I was thinking, wow, we don't got no food. How are we going to eat? And God sent someone, knocked on my door, did not even know that I needed groceries. So what you doing? You know what? I don't know why. I just went to the store, got a few extra groceries, and brought you some. That's how you glorify God and leave Satan out of it.
That's right.
And in glorifying God, that's how you edify one another. See? If there's life and death and the power of the tongue, then we've got to watch what we say, and not just about ourselves, we got to watch what we say to others.
Yes, especially others.
Because by the time you finish with your story, if when you walk away, you look at that person and they face look like, wow. Yeah, you went through all, what? Then you did not edify them. Right? What did you teach them, to be afraid of Satan? No, we edify them by bringing them into the knowledge of who God is, how great he is, how
yes.
there's nothing impossible for God.
Nothing.
Mm-mm-mm. That's how you edify them. You say, oh, my goodness. You know what? I didn't have a job, and it was going on 2-3 weeks. So guess what I was doing? I was over here fooling around, playing around. Because what? I put the resumes out there, and I kept on going. Because I knew God was going to open the door.
Amen.
That's how you glorify God. Because you know what you're doing? You're saying, I didn't have to sit there and worry that I didn't have a job. I knew the job was coming because God is still on the throne.
Yes, he is.
And I figured, okay, well, he does everything in his timing.
Mm-hmm.
So in his timing, he's going to open one of those doors. And guess what? If I let him open the door he wants to open for me, it's going to be the right one.
Yes. Praise
so all I got to do is send out my resume, step to the side, and let God do what he do.
That's right.
When it gets into the hands of the person that God wants it to be in, he's going to have favor to already present itself to that person before you get there.
Amen.
And you say, the favor gets there before me always.
Always.
The favor always is on the scene before you get there. How do you think you get a phone call? You get the call because favor is already on the scene.
Amen.
And they say, hey,
yes.
we would like to extend for you to come for an interview. That's because favor already had touched them. And you sit there and you go, oh, okay, thank you. You understand what God is saying here and all that getting, get understanding.
Yeah,
you know why? Some of us, in my case, I was saying, know them that labor amongst you. I'm thinking all of people in the church. And know them. And it's really the leaders. Yeah, and it's not just respect the position that they're in or just know that. No, guess what it is? Know what they stand in need of. Why? Because they're the ones carrying all the weight of the church.
Okay.
I was reading that commentary. I said, what you say? When it says know them that labor amongst you, it's talking about get to know your leaders. There
yes.
are times when your leaders are overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
They're not God. They're humans like me and you. They're just chosen servants.
That's right. We're just
so there are times when they're overwhelmed, but if you get to know them, you can look at them and go, Pastor, are you okay? Do you need anything? Or better yet, if you really know them, you'll go get something that they like and bring it back and say, I just felt like giving this to you. You look like you had a lot on you. I did it all the time. I know what my pastor liked. And I know it sounds crazy. There was one pastor I had, he loved chicken gizzards. And I'm like, okay. So when I see him get like that, you know, I just run to the favorite spot, get those gizzards, come back, the hot sauce and everything. He said, girl, who told daughter? You went in. You must have known what I needed. I didn't know what you needed, but I know what you didn't need. You didn't need to sit here in an overwhelming condition when you got helpers in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors got ministers. They got deacons. They got evangelists. Come on, they got prophets. Guess what? If we are to build one another up, we've got to get to know one another. Know them that labor amongst us. Get to know one another.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look like we're going down, the other one is there to lift us up.
Amen.
Build us up. Edify us with his word.
Amen.
That's what God is saying.
Right.
You know why he's saying this right now? Because we're not paying attention to the pastors because we're so concerned with what we need from God that we don't see that they're overwhelmed. Their battery is drained.
Mm-mm.
And then when the pastor gets so weak that they just can't come in there, the spouse, whether it's the husband or the wife, depending on whether or not your pastor is a man or a woman, the spouse is looking at that and say, uh-uh, that church is going to be okay if you take a couple of days to relax.
Absolutely.
But by that time, the poor little rascal done burnt themselves out. Because they don't want to say, oh, I got to take a sabbatical. Oh, I need a timeout. Because guess what? Every now and then, pastors have to go retreat.
Yes.
They got so much coming on them. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, they're just a servant. Huh? They are a servant of the Most High God.
Amen.
And so what they've got to do is they've got to go dump all this out. Get all of this off of them.
Yeah.
They've got to take it to God and then allow God to give them that much needed rest.
Yes.
Know them that labor amongst you. Get to know the people that are watching out for your soul. Yeah. Get to know them. Right? Start praying for them as well.
Oh, yes.
Huh? Start acting like little Aarons in there. Yeah. Because when Moses' hands got tied and they were going down, Aaron and her, they lift his arms back up.
Amen. Yes, they did.
They were there helping him to carry that weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this message is coming because God is saying, we're not getting the fullness of this meaning. Know them that labor amongst you. Right? Get back to edify one another. Leaders, get back on your post. Start watching out for each other. Start praying for one another. You know what's happening? The leaders are falling short. Why? Because they got no coverage.
Mm.
And so we don't hear, oh, you know what? Bill has been at this church every night this week. Seems like Bill needs a break. We don't hear that. No, Bill over there done ready to pass out because he done been here every night, coming here every day, still making hospital visits, still trying to do a wedding counseling, you know, all of this. And we're not hearing all of this, right? All we hear is the word we want to hear on the weekend. And the thing is, when God is saying, get to know them, okay, get to know what they're doing when you're not there. Mm-hmm. At 2 in the morning when they're going to jail to bail somebody out. Huh? 4 in the morning when they're going to pray with somebody at the hospital.
Yep.
6 in the morning when someone's calling saying, my sister just died and they got to go there. And they just got in the bed. You know why he's saying, know them that labor amongst you? So that you can appreciate them. You can understand the load that they're under, that they're carrying for God. And a lot of them, you know, let me take it back. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Some of them have gotten to the place where they don't want to share the load.
That's
right?
It.
I'm sorry. That's why God gave you elders and deacons and all these guys. When Moses was out there and he couldn't do it, guess what his father-in-law said? Appoint some men that are strong to help you carry this load.
Yes.
You can't do this alone. You're going to get burnt out. And you are no good to the people if you are burnt out.
Exactly.
Get the strongest men in your group to help you carry this load.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, you know, help us, Lord God, help us all. Some get in a position where I ain't nobody getting up on my pulpit. I don't let everybody come on my pulpit saying whatever. Hey,
it's not your pulpit.
And they are not your people.
Mm-mm.
and that is not your church. Ain't nobody coming to my church telling my seahawker. You don't have a church, and you don't have a pulpit, and those are not your sheep.
Okay. They're alone to you.
You are a servant.
Amen.
That's what we are. We are servants of the Most High God. And our servanthood consists of us making sure we give out the knowledge to edify his people.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, glory to God. But not only that, guess what else? We're teaching them everything, right? And he says, not only teach them, right? Hold the ones that are unruly accountable. Admonish them. That means to reprimand them. Rebuke them. No one gets away with murder in God's house.
That's right.
If they're in the church and you can see that they're unruly, they're doing things they ain't got no business doing, you're supposed to rebuke them.
Yes.
And if Paul would have his way, you could kick some out of the church. And if the apostolics had their way, you can sit some down.
Oh, yeah. Sit them down.
My goodness, glory to God. And not only that, guess what? When he says to admonish them, to reprimand them, right, to correct them.
Yes.
Usually it's with gentleness and with a kindness. You're not trying to hurt them.
Oh, no.
You are, remember, you are trying to build them up.
That's right.
Yeah. So when you're reproofing them, when you're rebuking them, you're supposed to be doing it in love.
In love. That's
not
right.
To embarrass them.
Oh, no.
Not to tear them down. Mm-hmm. Right? That's not how you build someone up.
That's right.
That's how you rip their heart out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come out of one room and you know, past the first lady, they're yelling and screaming at me. And I'm looking at them. And Kathy couldn't do anything but keep her little mouth shut. Because the minister was standing before them.
Mm.
And the minister was getting rebuked because they said I wasn't in position. And I was not in position at the time they wanted me to be there. And they just went completely off on me. And then I looked at them, and when they started talking, they said, well, and I looked at them, and I said, I apologize. Should I go out there now, or should I just forget about it? Go out there. We need your help. That's why we was looking for all the leaders.
Mm.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And I went on out there, and I had a tear in my heart.
Mm.
Not in my eyes. I had a tear in my heart. I couldn't have it in my eyes because I was going out there to assist the people.
Right.
I can't go assist them with tears in my eyes. Because guess what? It's not a weakness, but it's not a strength either.
No.
And so guess what happened to me, how I got strong? I would go to stores. I would, you know, just be out in my neighborhood. And I had some of the sisters, some of the brothers come to me and go, Minister Kathy, I don't know how you can do it. I don't understand what you mean. How can you take all that yelling and then step out those doors and smiling with everybody like you didn't just get your butt chewed out? And I'm looking at them like, where were you guys standing that you heard all this?
Hey.
You know, and then I just look at them. I said, you know, when God calls you to be a leader, he calls you to be a leader. And while you're leading, you've got to be an example before the people. if I can't get corrected, if I can't get chastised, if I can't get rebuked, how am I showing the people, oh my goodness, glory to God, how am I showing the people the strength of a leader?
Right.
And not only that, how am I showing them how to take correction? If I look back at them and say, oh, you're not going to talk to me like this in front of all these people. Oh, no, ma'am, no, sir, mm-mm. You need to call me in your office and chastise me. Well, I didn't call you in my office when you was out there not on your post at the right time. You do understand that sometimes rebuke in the open is necessary. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it tells the others what they can't do.
Right.
This is what's going to happen if you allow yourself to get caught into this. Not every time are you going to get rebuked behind closed doors.
That's true.
I told my pastor, she called me one day, and we was in our leadership meeting. And she said, Kathy, what? Oh, because she didn't know how to say my first name. She said, Kathy, what the kids called you when you was younger? I said, Harlette, Rawlette. They just couldn't say it. She said, well, what do the adults call you now? I said, they call me Rebuke now. And everybody in there started laughing. Yeah. You know why? Because it seemed like every other day I was getting rebuked in there.
Oh, my goodness.
I got rebuked because I'm a leader and my skirt was above my knees. Mm. I got rebuked. For, you know, I was just getting rebuked. And I said to my pastor, she said, they call you Rebuke. I said, yeah. Because every time they turn on, I'm getting rebuked. So they thought that was my name. She said, Kathy. And then everybody, you know, you could hear some of them going, Kathy crazy. You know she crazy. And Pastor said, no, Kathy's a good leader. You know why? She knows how to take it. And she gets up and do what she's supposed to do. When she's done wrong, she takes that. And I wanted to look at them and go, y'all have no idea. I had a West Indian forefather that beat me all the time. Every time I did something wrong, there was that belt. But it was okay, because after I get the beating, I said, yeah, I knew I shouldn't have went out there dancing. Yeah, I knew I shouldn't have been outside at 11 o'clock. Yeah, I knew I shouldn't have. And then I go back in there to my dad and go, what are we having for dessert? And he'd always go, this girl is crazy.
No,
I already got my beating. I did wrong. I got rebuked. I got the beating. And now, hey, it's over. Let's keep going. And so because I did that when I was a child, when those leaders started just rebuking me in the open, and it was embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
But it taught me.
Mm-hmm.
It taught me. As a leader, there are standards for the leaders.
Absolutely.
You don't get to do whatever you want in the church as a leader. You never should have stepped in this role, accepted the position, if you could not lead correctly in a godlike manner.
That's right.
Yeah. My goodness, go to God. And I said to her, I said, you think that one day I could get rebuked behind closed doors? She said, no.
No.
I said, okay, I was just wondering. She said, Cass, I think you know by now you're not one of those people that get rebuked behind closed doors. And I said, oh, I was just wondering. She said, because you can take it. Some people cannot take being rebuked. So you have to take them behind closed doors and they get to crying and acting up and they don't want to come back to the church.
Hmm.
She said, the ones that get rebuked in the open, God tells her which ones. And the ones that got to be rebuked in private, God tells her those too.
Oh.
And I was not one of them. God is telling us, and all by getting, get understanding. You've got to understand why he's telling you to get to know those that labor amongst you. They are watching out for your soul, right? They deserve some respect. They deserve your prayers. They deserve for you to look out for them. Yeah. When you see your pastor going through the parking lot and you're on the inside of church and you look out and you see your pastor carrying all this stuff to their car, you can run out there and try to help them. But not just the pastor. Anybody that you see struggling, trying to get to their car with all this in their hand, why not? That's how you build one another up.
Yes.
You be an example of God-like behavior in front of each other. Yeah. That's how you edify one another.
Amen.
You're improving on their knowledge. You're improving on their character because they're seeing it in you. And guess what? Even if it's not in them, they're constantly seeing that. Eventually, they're going to start doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, because and they're not even knowing that they're doing it. They just start doing it because they see it so much.
Yes.
And the reason why God is telling us this is because we've taken our eyes off the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
We're letting the shepherds go down. We're letting the shepherds get weak. We're not praying for them. We're not holding them accountable. Ooh, ooh. And you say, I can't hold no pastor accountable. Yes, you can. Did you know that if you out in the street and you see someone commit a crime,
mm-hmm.
right, you can call them on it? Yeah, you're not a police officer or anything like that. I forgot what they call it. Citizen arrest, something. They call it something, right?
Citizen arrest.
But you have the right. Yeah, you have the right to call that person out. But, you know, we don't do it because we're too scared. Because we think that person could have a gun. They could have this. They could have that. And, but when you see people in the church doing something they ain't got no business doing, you can hold them accountable whether you're a leader or not. Yeah, that's how you build one another up.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows I did it. I don't know how many times. I go out there and it's all dark. I said, who this out here in this corner? I was so crazy. Who this? I said, Sally, what you who, Jim out here, Sally, and Jim is out here, y'all. And they said, what are you talking? No, you ain't just talking out here in no dark. And then here comes Jim's wife. And I'm going, here they out here in the dark. I don't know why the lights out is the lights broke. So whenever they see me coming, they say, mm-mm. You know Minister Washer, she crazy. She getting ready to call somebody out.
Mm.
But even before I became a minister, I would do the same thing. Because I knew it wasn't right. I'm saying, not only are you disrespecting yourself, your spouse, and
mm-hmm.
God's house.
Mm.
You are disrespecting God's house.
Yes, that's the worst.
As if this is a meeting camp. This ain't no meeting camp.
Mm-mm.
Okay. As soon as I got that out, the Holy Ghost said, it's not. Okay, okay. So, well, guess what? When I was in there trying to meet somebody, I was not trying to meet someone that was married. I was going after the single men. Yeah. So even though I did it, he said it's not a meeting place, you know, and he going to correct me in my spirit because I know that's what I used to do. I thought, oh, man, I used to do that, but I didn't go after married men. And I didn't do anything distasteful or disrespectful to myself. You're not going to have me pinned up in no corner on the outside of the church, you know, trying to, you ain't going to do all that. That's not the reputation that I want for myself.
As a
woman,
Surely
as a woman of God, I don't want it.
Absolutely.
God is saying we got to get back to looking at our shepherds, them that labor amongst us. Because they're overwhelmed. They're struggling. You know how many pastors have taken their lives? Have committed suicide because they were so overwhelmed. They were so burnt out. They thought that what they did as a pastor was so wrong. And even though it was wrong, it wasn't so wrong that it couldn't be corrected.
That's right.
But they thought because they were pastors and they committed adultery or they did drugs or they did alcohol or whatever they did, they thought it was so wrong. And everybody's going to find out me as a pastor, I did this, and they took their lives. That's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yeah.
You are a pastor. You are not God. You are a bishop. You are not God. All men have the ability to fall short.
That's right. We all do.
We fall down, but we get back up.
That's right.
And so God is saying, start paying attention to the leaders. Start praying for them again so that they're not tempted and they don't fall into temptation.
Mm-hmm.
You see them doing something that look like it ain't right, just go up to them and say, you all right? You ain't even got to call it out. Just look at them. And you know they're over there getting ready to do something. Just go up to them and say, you all right? You need anything? Your presence is reminding them of who they are.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you put a stop to it. And they go, no, no, I'm okay. Now they know someone is watching them. Someone sees them. And they deter for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they may do it later, but guess what? While they deter, you get to praying for them.
That's right.
That God will let them be overtaken by the temptation. And that's what God is saying. Know them that labor amongst you. Get to know one another. Get to know that stressful look on their faces.
Yeah.
Get to know. There was one pastor, and his sister was saying he was crying out, and no one heard him. They said, oh, pastor, that's good. Yeah, pastor. He was talking about himself. He was crying out. We got to get to know them so we know when they're crying that we can hear that cry and take it to God for them.
Yeah.
God says in all that getting, get understanding. You can't understand if you don't know the person that's doing the teaching. If you know them, you'll be okay with going to say to them, I don't understand what you just said. Can you help me? Instead of leaving in the condition that you came in there, you're able to go to them and seek help, spiritual guidance.
Yes.
But you won't do that if you don't get to know them.
Mm-mm.
They're teachers, they're shepherds, they're there to assist.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also there to be assisted. We got to look out for them the same way they look out for us.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys.
Wow. Very, very good message. Praise God. I think that deserves a hand clap. Praise. Absolutely. At this time, before we have Pastor Kathy give us the call to salvation and the benediction, we'd like to ask our guests online to give a brief response on how they enjoyed the word this evening. And we're going to start with 623271. God bless you. How are you this evening? And do you have a brief response on how you enjoyed the word?
Thank you. God bless you. And I get to be on these calls once in a great while because of my job schedule. But whenever I get on, God has always made it so that the message is specifically for me. And I think, oh, my goodness, Pastor Kathy must have been up all night. Maybe that's why she had to change what she wrote, because God knew I was going to be on this call. And I needed to hear that message. So.
Yes.
So maybe that's why he thought, all right, she's going to be on. We better talk about this. And it's real important that I learn to accept when I am being edified, when someone is holding me accountable. And I also need to be more courageous when it's pressed upon me that if I see somebody doing something that is going to take them down the wrong path for their own salvation. I need the courage to stand up for God and the truth, and in a kind-hearted way, reveal, you know, to them and help edify them so that we don't keep repeating these same things over and over. And it's an uncomfortable position. It's an uncomfortable one to do the rebuking, and it's an uncomfortable position to be receiving, but it needs to be done for the glory of God.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you, Minister Leslie, Elder Leslie. Thank you for getting on tonight. I know it was a press for you. I missed you. God bless
you,
dear.
That's what I said. God pushed me and said, get on here. You got a message to listen to. I had Kathy redo the whole thing.
Amen. Area code 704-724, God bless you. How are you this evening? And do you have a brief response on how you enjoyed the word? Amen. Oh, okay. Praise be to God. So at this time, and truly, Pastor Kathy, I agree with you that we as leaders have to always keep our pastors and bishops and apostles and all of them in prayer. We should, when we are saying our prayers at night, we should always include them in our prayers. And if we see them overburdened with something, like you say, go and ask them if they okay. Do they need you to do anything? And that's how we are encouraging one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because like
you say, that's how you build one another up too.
Yes.
Amen.
And they are human beings and they get burned out just like regular people. You know, we are all servants of God, but you know, we need that kind of, sometimes we need that little push, that little encouragement. And if we, like you said, when we are doing something wrong, we have to be rebuked for it. So don't get upset if a person rebuke you for if you're doing something wrong. Be thankful.
It's called accountability.
Yes.
God
holds us all accountable.
Yes. Exactly.
Do you know what we would be like if he didn't have accountability in place? We would run amok.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Because if there's no accountability, think about it. There's no president. There's no cops. You know, there's no firemen. People go out there, start fires. You know, it would be crazy down here.
Yeah. Look at
those. He didn't do that to hurt us. He did that because he loves us.
Right. And just like all those young people, I mean, if that amount of young people will come out and vote the way that they went down to Times Square. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I mean, like, come on. Because of some idiot decide that he wants to give away something, knowing that he didn't have no license, nothing to even, or permission to even do it. But you do it anyway, and you all cause a riot down there. It's bad enough the young people are a little, a bit angry with the police, and that made it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, you know, watch our young people, talk to them and stuff, and let them know everything that you do destructively, it causes the taxpayers. And that damage that they did.
It causes a lot of things to go haywire because you got little kids out there running. You got parents. You got all kind of stuff going on.
Yes.
And that's why we are to pray one for another.
Absolutely.
I'm going to let Elder Leslie, she is going to do the call of salvation, and she's going to close us out in prayer.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you. She's on tonight. Ha ha. Do what you did, darling.
Thank you. It's an honor to be asked to do that, and for all of us out there that are struggling, that don't know who Jesus is, and are thinking it's just too simple. It's just too simple to just believe in Jesus and my life will be turned around. Well, it is simple and it is powerful. Mm-hmm. So for all of those that are lost and they're trying to substitute their loneliness with drugs or alcohol or pornography or gambling, whatever they're trying to fill that emptiness, turn to Jesus. Just turn to Jesus, call his name out one time. Ask him to come into your heart and to forgive you. Just call his name out one time, and you will feel instantly a sense of power, a sense of peace. It's that simple. And I thank you, Father God, for these people, that Pastor Kathy, who continue, no matter what the circumstances are in her life, she continues to make this call to encourage people, to support and uplift them, to guide them and keep them in alignment with the truth. No matter what is going on in her life, she puts God and the kingdom of God first. And I am so grateful that she continues to be obedient and disciplined and faithful, along with Pastor Stephen. Thank you both.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Back to you, Evangelist Hillman. Thank you, Elder Leslie.
I just want to thank everyone for showing up in the spirit tonight and didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this evening. We're just so grateful that you felt it in your heart to be here with us tonight to hear Pastor Kathy preach an awesome message tonight. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you until we meet again on Tuesday at 6 p.m. So we love you and we thank you. Have
God
a
bless
wonderful
you guys. Love you.
Good night, everyone. Enjoy your weekend.
Good night. Thank you.
Happy Sabbath. Good night.
Good night. God bless.
God bless and shalom.